Pick your jobs report. I have one that is weak and one that is strong. I'm David Brancaccio. There is news just now that hiring in December was disappointing for a second month in a row. The government finds that less than 200,000 people were added to payrolls last month. Even with Omicron in the headlines, forecasters were predicting more than twice that. That's when they count up payrolls. Now, when the government surveyors check separately with households, that produces the unemployment rate, which last month dropped sharply to 3.9%. A sign of strength. Is this a puzzle that can be solved? Economist Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, joins us live. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I mean, Julia, you look at the payrolls, you say, well, it must be the spread of the virus holding things back. You look at the separate unemployment rate, it would suggest strength. What is it that people are saying they've stopped looking for work for now or something?
No, people are still participating. We haven't gone backwards on that. We just have two different surveys giving us somewhat different messages. So the survey of firms says that hiring has slowed. The survey of households says it has not, and that people are still finding jobs. It is hard to measure this economy. I think overall, the unemployment rate dropping, strong wage gains still tell us that the economy is reasonably strong and demand for workers is strong. There might not be enough workers to meet that demand.
It's becoming less an economic question, like a philosophical question. You know, what is reality and is reality what we measure? Anyway, where was hiring slowing? What kind of fields?
Well, where we see it slowing is in healthcare and among state and local governments. And these are the sectors where people don't want to work anymore due to COVID. Or not as much. And those employers are having a hard time finding the workers they want and need.
All right. Economist Julia Coronado, Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you. It's like sriracha sauce for companies. The recipe is this. Take your old business model and sprinkle on some blockchain, maybe a tablespoon of cryptocurrency, and a garnish of NFT tokens, a method to sell easy-to-copy digital things as a rare original. Well, the news is that the video game retail store GameStop, the center of a stock frenzy last year when people started talking it up online, is trying to embrace financial fashion. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
Yeah, David, a little reality check to start here. We know GameStop is in the middle of trying to turn around its business. This is a company that sells physical copies of video games in brick and mortar stores. This is not a growth area. The company's losing money, $105 million in its last quarterly report. Not a surprise. Gamers are increasingly just downloading video games or playing them online in multiplayer environments. So as part of GameStop's turnaround plans, the company is putting together a division that's dedicated to the online world, and specifically as it relates to video games and digital collectibles. It wants to use non-fungible tokens, NFTs, to create a marketplace online where you can buy and sell original video game collectibles.
Okay. Now, these tokens, NFTs, use blockchain techniques to authenticate things being sold as the original. What kind of video game collectibles might be good for this?
Right. So it's the same idea here, and it could apply to things like digital outfits for video game characters or avatars, or digital on-screen weapons that these characters might use. We've seen some NFTs for digital art sell for tens of millions of dollars, right? So can GameStop perhaps catch lightning in a bottle here, get in on what some expect to be the future of the online world? Think the metaverse too, right? Another buzzword. If that's going to be about digital interactions in a 3D space, then perhaps authenticated video game art will be a part of that too. Now, there are reports that GameStop is also trying to establish cryptocurrency partnerships to make all of this happen. The Wall Street Journal was reporting that GameStop has reached out to some game developers and publishers, asking them to create NFTs for its new marketplace, which it hopes to launch later this year.
A feature of early pandemic was liberalizing alcohol regulation so that people could walk up to a bar and get a drink to go. In New York, we now see people strolling down the sidewalk, and it ain't apple juice in there. What was temporary is now being made permanent in New York and in some other parts of the country, allowing bars and restaurants to sell not just food, but drinks as takeout. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has more.
Like a lot of restaurant owners, Kelly Bush has seen takeout become a bigger part of her business.
We actually have somebody on Friday nights just doing the phones for takeout.
She owns two spots, Union Tavern and Marshall Street Bar and Grill, in Rochester, New York. And up until June of last year, when it was legal to sell to-go drinks, alcohol made up a quarter of takeout sales.
It was enough to cover, like, our guest electric bill. Like, little things like that were huge.
She says she can't wait to put drinks back on her takeout menu if a new law allows the sale of to-go drinks to become permanent. And she's not alone. Mike Watley at the National Restaurant Association says takeout is here to stay. And if laws aren't passed, restaurants will lose out on high-profit alcohol sales.
Behavior is very sticky, and people have trends and habits they're going to keep, and they like having restaurant food in the comfort of their homes.
Currently, 31 states plus the District of Columbia have temporary or permanent to-go laws. Kevin Kosar is a senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute and has written books about liquor history in the U.S. He says the past 2 years have seen some of the biggest updates to laws since Prohibition.
Changes to the drinks industry tend to proceed slowly.
He says arguments against loosening liquor laws aren't usually about public health, but about competition within the industry. For instance, liquor stores have lobbied against restaurants selling to-go cocktails during the pandemic. But Kosar says in the long run, governments tend to relax liquor laws because they're a boon to local economies.
States are always hungry for more tax revenue.
Especially now. In the past several years, more states have also softened or abolished blue laws, which ban alcohol sales on Sundays. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Upstate New York has traditionally had that growler tradition. You bring in a big jug up to the bar and they'll fill it from the beer taps for people to take home. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.